everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/gabpod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode was originally recorded on October 20th, 2016. Here's episode 17 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, though, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are in the nation's capital, home of the Donald Trump Pennsylvania Avenue, a very exclusive, very awesome hotel. It is now open. How many more months of we ate at this hotel because you didn't have to, or we stayed at the Trump because blah, 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 or we ordered
Hopefully
the thing from the thing. How many more months of those op-eds are we going to get and think pieces and photo essays will sustain the existence of the old post office as the Trump Hotel?
19 days.
19 more days?
Yes.
Because have you seen them in your Facebook feed at all?
Yeah, I don't click on them.
Agreed. I have not clicked on them. But regardless of whether you're the Alt Weekly or Men's Journal or the Washington Post, there's a we did this, so you didn't have to blah, blah, blah. What? Why? Why are we doing this? That's a stupid rhetorical question. I know exactly why we're doing this. But anyways,
I don't know. Tell me, managing editor of a website, how does the content work?
I know. I know what we're doing.
I'm surprised you guys haven't done it.
I'm about to slit my throat today in the office when we're doing a pumpkin every day, a pumpkin taste test item. I love it. I absolutely adore it because, complete sincerity here, I love capitalism and I love limited edition marketing ploys. Complete sincerity right there. So we're going to try and do a taste test of a pumpkin product every single day until they stop making them. So my guess is we're going to go mid-September to like mid-February.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Anyways, we got all these fucking youngsters in the office. I'm 33. All these fucking young kids. Well, they are two-thirds my age, so I feel okay saying this. And they're like, this is disgusting. It's not fucking disgusting. Shut the fuck up. You're a liar. I was raised in McDonald's. You know what? It's not disgusting. It's chemicals engineered to trigger parts of your brain to feel good. What the fuck is wrong? It's not disgusting.
It's a triple point. They figured it out. The salt, the sugar, and the fat that needs to hit the trigger in your brain. It tastes good. Now, stop lying to yourself.
Shut up, Jamokes. Just eat your fucking chow. Anyways, this
eat
is...
Eat your Bootios.
That's a good one. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, they made Spookios.
Did they really?
Or they have the t-shirt, I think. They have a Halloween-themed shirt.
God. All right, anyways.
Topical.
Part of that had something to do with what this show is about, but not really. Yeah. This show is about the intersections of wrestling and presidential politics.
Yeah. So what
fucking
happened?
Young kids. Anyways, last night was the debate.
Third and final. The blow-off, as it's known in wrestling.
Could you explain what that is to people?
Well, usually you have like a series of matches, usually three, and maybe heel takes one, face takes one, and then the blow-off is the end of the feud, usually up the stakes. Maybe they've upped the stakes through all three. Maybe the heel cheated in one of them, but the last one is, you know, maybe it's a cage match to keep out people from interfering. Maybe it's a Hell in the Cell match, like on October 30th on the WWE Network. Where there'll be three of those.
And I think two of them are blow-offs.
Nothing. Like, at this point, I don't even know some of these stories, how they're ever going to blow it off. We can get to that when we get to some wrestling.
This was technically the blow-off debate, whatever. Did you watch the debate?
Most of it.
You watched most of it.
Yeah.
You had a migraine.
And I fell asleep. It didn't help my migraine.
This is the first debate that was on, not in opposition of WWE programming. The first one was on during SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. NXT finished before the debate.
Yeah.
I did watch all of NXT.
Okay. Did anything exciting happen in NXT last night?
Yeah, they got the debut of Mr. Ring of Honor, Roderick Strong. Got some more sanity. Got two big fat guys in a tag team. Got two dancing guys in a tag team. So the Dusty Classic. We'll get to more Dusty Rhodes stuff in a bit.
This is the dust. Last night was all about Dusty Rhodes in more ways than one. And then the debate I watched, I had the dual screen experience on the entire time because I'm a baseball mark. And I watched the first hour of the Cubs Dodgers game with sound, then put the Cubs Dodgers game on the iPad, then watched the debate.
Yeah.
So, well, Donald Trump is saying horrible things about Chicago. Chicago is scoring four runs in one inning. Though, a lot of people I know in Chicago are like, ah, you talked about Chicago, four runs. He's not completely wrong on a lot of the stuff about Chicago. And also, based on who my friends are that are Cubs fans, maybe
they probably are not affected by what he's talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. So, it's a bitter pill to swallow. Anyways, the debate was fun. I had a fun time during the debate. The first half hour was the closest thing over the three debates that was most like a traditional presidential debate. That being said, side note, not really related to wrestling, but very related to politics. If you get a chance to watch a state house or a state senate debate online, do it. My wife had to cover the Indiana state debate for Senate. It was amazing. There was a third party candidate, and neither of the major party candidates would acknowledge the crazy shit she said. She has 10 children. She would bring that up all of the time. She's an anti-vaxxer, 10 children, very upset with both 9/11 and the people that perpetrated 9/11.
Well, she had 10. Have we checked it? How many she has now? She's not an anti-vaxxer.
Once again, in Indiana, it was so amazing. So that's sort of related to Paul. That's essentially saying follow the indies, kids. There's a lot of exciting stuff
There's
going
stuff on. Stuff on the indies.
Anyways, the debate last night, of course, there was a turn. She knows how to prod him. The easiest way to do that is to bring up Rusev's favorite politician, Vladimir Putin. Putin was the first nail in the coffin, Undertaker. By the way, this is going to sound like a fever dream. SmackDown Live.
It usually does.
So. SmackDown Live this week was amazing because there was sort of a coffin match, not really a coffin match.
A coffin adjacent.
It was so great. Yeah. It made me happy.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to last night. The Putin stuff led to the hombres comment.
No,
I'm saying it correctly. How did he say it? Hombres?
He said like, I made a Harambe joke, so it had like a long A in there somewhere.
But we have some bad hombres here, and we're going to get them out.
That's part one. Part two is I will not respect the outcome of this, proclaiming before the final match, which is the election, this is going to have a dusty finish.
Yeah.
If you look at your voter rolls, you will see millions of people that are registered to vote. Millions. This isn't coming from me. This is coming from Pew Report and other places. Millions of people that are registered to vote that shouldn't be registered to vote. So let me just give you one other thing. So I talk about the corrupt media. I talk about the millions of people. Tell you one other thing. She shouldn't be allowed to run. She's guilty of a very, very serious crime. She should not be allowed to run. And just in that respect, I say it's rigged. Because she should never have been allowed to run for the presidency based on what she did with emails and so many other things.
But, sir, there is a tradition in this country. In fact, one of the prides of this country is the peaceful transition of power, and that no matter how hard fought a campaign is, that at the end of the campaign, that the loser concedes to the winner, not saying that you're necessarily going to be the loser or the winner, but that the loser concedes to the winner and that the country comes together in part for the good of the country. Are you saying you're not prepared now to commit to that principle?
What I'm saying is that I will tell you at the time. I'll keep you in suspense.
Well,
okay?
Chris, let me respond to that because that's horrifying.
And then my takeaway from this debate, and I'd say about a third of my friends, biggest takeaway, nasty woman.
Well, Chris, I am on record as saying that we need to put more money into the Social Security Trust Fund. That's part of my commitment to raise taxes on the wealthy. My Social Security payroll contribution will go up, as will Donald's, assuming he can't figure out how to get out of it. But what we want to do is to replenish the Social Security Trust Fund.
I think it's a bad hombres. I've seen more memes on that.
I'm going to go A, number one, the most important thing is I'm not going to respect the election.
Yes, let's put that.
Okay, so we're in agreement on that one?
Yeah, and we should circle back. You said dusty finish, which I don't know if you explained on this podcast.
We need to, so the name of this episode is Trump, either Trump proclaims a dusty finish or something to that effect. Dusty Rhodes, in addition to being one of the greatest on-mic wrestlers of all time, is one of the greatest bookers of all time. Could you please explain for the listener at home what a booker is?
So the booker is the guy with the book, is the guy who determines the stories, the finishes to the matches, who's going over, basically who's running things behind the scenes.
Okay, so a booker in wrestling is someone that everyone knows. He's respected. He's at the top of the
food chain,
but He determines the outcomes, and that's it. And what he says goes. Sometimes the referee doesn't know. Usually they do.
Referee knows.
Not all the time, according to Dave Meltzer this week.
On which match?
I have no idea. Was just, I follow him on Twitter. It's a lot of fun. He seems so angry at his life.
If you had to deal with his internet, I think
he
would.
He gets to choose. He gets to choose. Why are you upset? You fucking kids eating this sweet candy and complaining about it. Stop being upset. Just don't fucking eat it. Hey, Dave Meltzer, don't do that job. You're fucking great at it, but if it makes you angry, don't do it. I love doing this job, by the way. I'm not complaining in any way whatsoever. Anyways, a dusty finish is a way to continue a feud without making either party look weak.
Ideally, yes. So it's basically where it's kind of like, I think, means like, it probably has a specific meaning to like real purists of what he would do specifically, but now it's come to kind of be an overall term for any type of this finish where basically someone, it looks like someone has won, but there's like a reversal because the initial ref had got bumped and then another ref came out and there was some shenanigans with the second ref or something. So it's just basically any way that like, yeah, somebody won, but it's not a totally clean win and it doesn't count because like the next, basically it would be like the guy would win and then the next day they'd come back and go, actually he didn't win, here's why.
This, we don't need to really give an example because I'd say every third big feud has a dusty finish at least one point in the feud. So that's what Trump proclaimed. That's what he's been leading up to. We've been talking about this since the start. A lot of people are coming around to it. I've yet to see that term being thrown around, and it's really a shame because a dusty finish is not real. That's the whole point. This is what separates it from real sport. It's why the boxing analogies go by the wayside, because he's not playing by the same rules. He's determining the rules. That's the important takeaway from all of this.
Yeah, and the fact that that's the heel. That's the Barthes thing, I think, this came up last time. That's the heel crying, you know, crying foul when the rules apply and then breaking them all the time. This is the rig thing of going every, I mean, he, all the primaries that he won by the rules, he didn't say anything about. The ones he lost, he said they were all rigged. When he wasn't, when he was close in this, he wasn't saying rigged. When he, when it became clear that he's got a 10% chance of winning, it's rigged. And that's the part that the, that upsets you as a viewer of this, because that's what it's, it's not that if he broke the rules but said, yeah, I'm breaking the rules so I can win, that'd be one thing. It's that he denies that he's breaking the rules when he's breaking them and then pleads for them to protect him when he's losing.
And I think that regardless of the side of the aisle you're on, you're not happy with what's going on right now. You're either upset because how dare this man, sorry, this candidate not respect the rules, or how dare they not play by the rules, where there's only one guy in this entire thing that's the booker, and that's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's amazing. We should give the man credit for that. I'm not trying to play the role of a heel here, but it's kind of true. He might be lying to himself. That's not for me to decide. We don't care. That's not the point of this.
Yeah.
But in the reality, he is Dusty Rhodes in this. He is the American dream in this. What's going on right now in NXT?
The Dusty Rhodes Tag Classic in celebration of Dusty Rhodes, who passed away last year.
This is amazing for multiple reasons. Number one, Dusty Rhodes didn't make his name in the WWF. He worked with the WWF for a handful of years, but he made his name during the territories era. Yep. His biggest opponent, best opponent, was Ric Flair, who is Mr. Wrestling, only because Hulk Hogan said the N-word on a sex tape.
Midwest much?
Oh, boy. It's, so anyways, Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair, for, in a way, are these two guys that are sort of being reshaped as like these heroes of wrestling, where they were never part of the mainstream. They were doing it. This isn't really political right now. I'm just thinking about this out loud.
Yeah.
I think it's so fascinating that Dusty is now this beloved figure that has shaped the future of so many current wrestlers. He was an instructor at NXT. He has two children that have come through the industry. Dustin Rhodes, better known as Gold Dust, who is probably on his way out of the WWE.
Eventually, I mean,
maybe he's
in the best shape ever.
Closer to 50 than 40 at this point. His son, Cody Rhodes, who has recently left the company to wrestle on the indies.
I think he was on Arrow last
week. He's on Arrow right now.
This week.
He looks like an Adonis.
Yeah.
He's maybe, I'd say, the most attractive wrestler in the last 10 years. I know a lot of people are going
to
go,
I'm going to have to think about that. I don't think about it that
for
often.
For dudes, so. A lot of people go Finn or Roman Reigns. I get it. Don't get me wrong.
You like a nice clean-cut young man.
Clean-cut young man. I'm going Cody Rhodes day in and day out.
The accent doesn't do it with Finn for you?
Finn seems like a nice boy, but he's too...
He plays with his Legos.
Come on, I'm
There
good.
Is a great gif of the moment at NXT, so this is a great sidetrack. I stand by it. So Bailey's super fan. This little girl of probably 8 years old, huge Bailey super fan, cries when she's losing, cheers her. She always gets a hug. But there's a moment where she's sitting at the railing and Finn goes by in his trunks and she sees his butt and it's like, oh, she's a woman now. Her eyes, she like reaches for it. Yeah. So that's a thing that happens. So yeah, Cody Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes.
That's what we were getting at. He's this beloved figure in the industry. He determines the outcomes of everything. And wrestling as we know it doesn't exist without Dusty Rhodes.
Right.
That's this election cycle as we know it doesn't exist without Dusty Rhodes. It only makes sense if you look at it from this angle.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about how great we explained everything and how perfect we are and are on the radio and television and in print when people interview us, because we are great. That's not a lie. We're really good at this and we understand things others don't. We were supposed to do TV last night. I didn't tell you this until the day off, but we were supposed to do TV last night, like right before the debate aired on like the local Fox network.
Right.
And it was booked. And then I got a call Wednesday morning. They thought we were wrestlers. I'm not going to give out names, but it's the local Fox station in DC. And
that's very political of you.
What's the point? It's fucking pointless. And I've done the show a handful of times, usually the morning show. And I pitched our book to the morning show. We have a book. Buy our book.
You get swerved.
Swerved. We should have fucking called the book Swerved. No, but we couldn't for obvious reasons. I wanted to go on before the debate to explain to the Jamokes and Jabronis out there what we wrote about. And they were like, it doesn't really fit for the morning show. And I totally understand that. People want cupcake recipes or whatever. This fits in the political show we do before the debate. I was like, perfect, let's do it. I think we're all set. I get a call from the producer Wednesday morning. What exactly is the book? I was like, well, I've sent it. Here's articles. It's a book about this. So you're not actually wrestlers? It's like, no. What did you think we were going to do? Well, they thought we were going to wrestle as Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I was like, no, that's not why. Also, why would you want that on before your like real serious political show?
Yeah, that totally doesn't seem like a morning news segment.
What the fuck? So I don't know.
So we got bumped for Ace Steel and somebody portraying Hillary Clinton.
So yeah, I don't know if you've ever thought about writing a book about wrestling, make it very clear that you're not actually going to wrestle
at all your media appearances.
What the fuck is wrong with
or
people?
Actually any of your media appearances.
What the fuck?
Yeah, well, that's a shame.
Anyway, sorry.
A nice experience, but
we've gotten to like zero notes thus far.
No, it's fine. I think
it's
we
just
got
a
some
fucking
stuff.
Fever
no, we got
dream.
Bad hombres, nasty women. He's going to keep us in suspense about the ending. The only wrestling thing I would bring up, and there was a couple. I mean, people were memeing crazy, but my favorite was Hillary's all white outfit. Was similar to when Shawn Michaels wore an all-white outfit to fight an undead monster in WrestleMania 24.
Undertaker, the Undertaker.
And I stole it, so it's Mike Lawrence, the comic on Twitter, big wrestling fan. So, yeah, and you know, as we were saying, with him kind of calling the election rigged, that is, I think, more important than what actually happens on November 8th, because as more and more, it does look like a foregone conclusion. That doesn't mean people shouldn't go out and vote, however you're going to do that. Because we're apolitical or nonpartisan, but November 9th, kind of what, you know, as the leader of this kind of amorphous movement of people who are very angry and apt to watch the polls with guns and stuff, what happens on November 9th, he launches Trump.TV for $9.99 a month. Like, I think a lot of this people will go, oh, that is right. It was just a promo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see. I think we'll see how much. Because he's like a wounded animal, so it's tough. And even with wrestling logic, he's not a rash. Like, wrestling logic, at least, is telling a narrative.
Okay.
Right?
Slow down on that.
Yeah.
You do a service to many people. Sometimes you don't want to watch 90 minutes of wrestling on Hulu. You
sure.
Definitely don't want to watch 3 hours of it, so you do 3-minute Raws.
Yes, and 2-minute SmackDown.
What's your biggest complaint about Raw since the brand split?
They're not telling stories anymore.
There you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, no, it's the same way. You can't predict what's going to happen on Raw. You can't predict what he's going to... There's no traditional... Like, a lot of the stuff we use in the book is kind of traditional wrestling logic of what's governed it for 50 years, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but... It is really, I mean, I don't think anybody knows for sure, especially, but what November 9th looks like.
I know that
you can guess. There's a couple outcomes, but that's about it.
I know you didn't watch closely, and I know you definitely didn't watch the debate via the Facebook Live Donald Trump TV feed.
That I did not.
But that existed.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. And I don't think we should overlook this fact. He's using a free service on Facebook to build up a giant viewership to get likes so he can sell his goddamn network.
Yeah, I mean, he's already got the email list and all this. This is like a lot of these guys. I mean, that's like Ben Carson. Remember him? He ran for president. I mean, that campaign was basically, this is a thing that happens. It's mostly in, that's just the way it is. It's mostly in Republican candidacies, but they these fundraising direct mail firms get a candidate, prop them up, mail out all these angry grandmas, get them to give them their social security checks, and then basically take a huge cut of that. So the fundraising is just getting the direct mail, and the direct mail is just getting the fundraising, and then like the candidate probably loses because they're not doing anything else. Ben Carson's campaign, but they in the end they build this. They have these great lists, and like Ben Carson's, you know, whoever buys his list or who has bought it has this big resource. And the fact that Trump is most likely to use it for something other than another political con, because I think he's kind of done as much as he can with this one. That's where you see what the next step is.
There you go.
So
we're smarter than everybody else. We're going to go on your morning TV show and wrestle to explain politics
or not. So
why does it bother me so much? It really bothers me.
The illiteracy is a real problem in this country. I don't know how you play telephone on email. It's right there. It's not like somebody heard it.
You know what I think happened? It was a pitch meeting.
Okay.
Like a producers, and they were all in the same room, and they're like, oh, I got this guy. He wants to come on and do blah, blah, blah. And they heard a wrestler, and their fucking idiot animal brain was like, oh, no.
Why wrestling works. Fucking
exactly.
Stupid animal brains.
Fucking idiots. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and we were talking about how important Dusty has been, turns out, to this election and to what's wrestling. But as you said, his best opponent is Ric Flair, who is running for president with Waka Flocka Flame.
I've been forced to leverage bureaucratic loopholes just like Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I'm now introducing the perfect running mate, Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Woo! Waka Flocka, my brother, the greatest rapper in the world today, wants Nature Boy to be his running mate. Are you kidding me? Doctor, what do you think?
I like it.
Doctor, what do you think?
I love it.
You know what? You know why he likes me? Because he knows I'm a kiss stealer. Wheel and deal. Limousine ride. Jet fly. Son of a gun. And I'm having a hard, hard time keeping these alligators on, baby, okay? You might put your hand right here, little dog. Me and Waka Flocka.
What is the female population of the world thinking about right now? Are you kidding me? You can have Waka Flocka and the Nature Boy on the same ticket now. Register to vote. We won't lose. Waka Flocka. Woo! 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 And the Nature Boy. Oh yeah. All night long. Oh! Woo!
Rappers love Ric Flair, because why wouldn't you? The line of from Gorgeous George to Muhammad Ali to Ric Flair to rap. People better than us have written about it, but that's where it all the swagger.
Where it all begins again.
Yeah. WrestleMania 20 slogan, as we just say. Inside jokes. In other wrestling news this week, in my 3-minute Raw, as you'll see, since Raw, 3 hours, you shouldn't watch it. Don't watch Raw. Just
do you
do
watch
it.
The Hulu version after you
no.
do this? Okay, so that's, your 3-minute. I don't
it's
know.
4.5 hours.
What were you doing right before we recorded this? What were you
watching? Like old Raws I haven't seen since 98.
All right, so
different.
Fucking back off. You included a match that was not in the 90-minute Raw.
Which match? I can't
the
remember.
The Bo Dallas turn.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to be. I'm not surprised it wasn't. But yeah, the things that happened, that was one. Bo Dallas is kind of been his entire time in the WWE at the main roster, he's been a comedy character. His whole thing is Bo Leave. He now comes out with like, it's not Make Bo. It's Bo Leave and Bo. It's not Make Bo Great
Honestly,
again.
I haven't seen him on a 90-minute Raw since he got squashed by Lesnar a few months back.
Right. So basically
I only see him when you're including him.
So
on
he does
recaps.
This new thing where he does kind of a, it's weird. He does like a little rhyme, but he's like 1,000-yard stare. And so an ex-tag partner of him was like, man, come on, I'm going to cheer for you, blah, blah, blah. And after he squashed Neville, who's the man gravity forgot is quickly falling from the sky, but he jumped his ex-team member Curse Axel, son of Mr. Perfect from the 90s. It's an interesting wrestling one, just because it's a cool thing they're doing with the character who was a joke character. That's how you build him up.
It's wonderful. And another reason why I brought this up is this is such circular logic here, and I apologize. Bo Dallas is real life brother is
Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt, who came out in the coffin.
Yeah.
And he literally has sheeple. Yeah. He's got men in sheep masks. Whose real life father is?
He's the man who played Erwin R. Schyster.
IRS. And where is Donald Trump's hotel next door to?
The IRS.
So yeah, that's been in my head the entire week.
That's good. I'm glad you got it out before you go up to a book depository somewhere. Also in 3 Minute Raw. Now, this show is going to recap 3 Minute Raw. But no, New Day, my favorite tag team, came out and did a thing where they talked about their opponents. Is it thrown together tag team of a face and a heel, Sheamus and Cesaro, and said that they get along as well as the candidates for president. And then segued smoothly into a 420 joke because they were in Denver on their 420th day. I'm not going to do it, but as the WWE tag champs. And those were like the two, those are two stories that get lost in Raw. The big thing was that, as we mentioned last week, is that Bill Goldberg came back, former WCW star, for about 2 years. He was the biggest thing, comparable to Austin, if not surpassed at some points.
He'd be the guy you'd see on Conan. He'd be the WCW guy, and you'd see Austin. Like, he was
there
bigger.
There was two bald guys with goatees for a couple years there in the late 90s.
He was bigger than The Rock. He was second only to Austin, and for a while, bigger than Austin.
Yes.
He had a book deal as well. If memory serves correct, Jewish.
Goldberg, yes.
Maybe the most important Jewish wrestler of all time.
I didn't think about that.
Just in terms of popularity, he might be.
Yes.
He also didn't give a shit and did not protect the business and did not care about any of that. He is at the end of the, is it 2015 or 2014 viral video of Everything is Wrestling.
Hey, Dad.
What?
You know wrestling's fake.
It's predetermined, son.
And he never cared about this stuff. He was a former football player.
Right. And the only reason he's coming back is because his kid was born after his time in wrestling and he wants his kid to be able to see him wrestle. So he's going to come back and wrestle Brock Lesnar at some point in a rematch from a horrible match they had in WrestleMania, I guess 2004, 12 years ago, WrestleMania 20, where it all begins again. It was a bad match, mostly because they refused to work for each other, and this whole idea of who's going to look good in the match. They were also both leaving the company the next day, and the fans knew it, and they were in New York. And the only thing that saved it was Austin giving everybody stunners, as is usually the case, like at the Battle of the Billionaires.
We have to mention this every single time. That's the WrestleMania where Donald Trump pledges financial and emotional support for Jesse the Body Ventura's run for president of the United States of America.
Which sadly didn't happen, but, you know, who knows at this point. Also, Goldberg, back. Goldberg, as I think we also mentioned last week, was on The Apprentice, Celebrity Apprentice. He was fired a couple weeks before Maria Kanellis was fired for locker room talk. So, I mean, there's certain things like the IRS thing, which I'm going to be like, all right, get out the yarn. And the,
Of course.
But
I'm not
this
drawing
stuff is,
giant.
These people are all connected to this really weird wrestling, you know, reality TV world.
Now, it's a lot easier for us to find threads and connections between Republicans and wrestling, but it's not. This is a bipartisan podcast. Goldberg crossed over the same way the XFL had cameras and in a lot of their technological advances are currently using the NFL. Like when you ever see a camera pan over the field and it's that beautiful shot, that started from the XFL. Miking the referees, having on-field mics, that's the XFL. That's used now in almost every sport. Another way that wrestling took over was introductions. And you brought this up to me before the podcast. You should take it over from here.
Okay, yeah. So Goldberg used to do a thing where his entrance was, they'd play his music and the camera would just be like a tracking shot on him. He'd be usually surrounded by cops. You know, they're there for like your protection because he's this crazy animal who's going to come out and do his two moves, which are impressive. And if he can still do it, it'll look good. And he'd come all the way out with his entourage. And there's actually a video of this. So Bill Clinton did a very similar entrance at the 2000 DNC. No police entourage, but the same camera focused on him. And, I mean, YouTube it, because I'm sure someone's laid into Goldberg's music. But, yeah, and that's, once again, like we covered with the conventions, our two wrestling-themed entrances we had.
Like I said before, I'm a big Cubs fan. I'm a big sports fan. I want to make it also clear that other sports use the WWE's music. On Saturday night, before the Grand Slam, the music playing in Wrigley was Stone Cold Steve Austin's theme. You can only hear it on the radio. On TV, you can't really tell. But if you listen to a radio broadcast like an old man like me complaining about young kids earlier, you hear the music played. They're playing Stone Cold's theme because it works.
Yeah.
You do certain things that works. You do certain tropes that works. You blame a rigged election because, in a way, it works. It's all the same.
Yeah, and it's going to work. It won't work November 8th, but like we said, November 9th, that's where it works. But that's where you're... at this point, if you're going to lose the election, who cares if it's... I mean, I'm sure someone cares. Paul Ryan fucking cares. But, like, if he loses... You know, he gets 45% to 35%. As long as that 35% is there to buy what he's selling on November 9th, who gives a shit? And so this stuff now that we're in, people are saying tailspin, but he's just locking down that base because that's the base that's going to buy the product the next day.
There's no reason for him to change. Why would he? And what's the Dusty quote that I never remember and I always ask you?
Oh, where's the money, baby?
There it is.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's all that matters.
And that's what he's been doing. I mean, that's what he did in his apology. I mean, the whole, that story, and I'm paraphrasing, but I think it's Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar's advocate, I believe on Stone Cold's podcast, was saying about how he did this great promo one time in WCW. He thought it was great. He really was like tearing into the guy. And he goes to the back and Dusty, his lisp and southern accent, is like, where's the money, baby? Because he didn't say what match it was for and when that match was and like sold any tickets. And like that's what Trump did in his apology a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And he said, we'll see you Sunday. Because the thing is, it's like the apology wasn't an apology. The apology was a promotion for the debate. I'm going to keep you in suspense is a promotion for whatever happens November 9th.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
He's brilliant.
Yeah. It's brilliant in a certain way. It's not, as we've seen, it'll win a primary. It's not going to, probably we're not going to win a general. But it's definitely going to, whatever his original goal was, I'm sure he's exceeded whatever free publicity he thought he was going to get. But with all this stuff in last week, I mean, the debates, but between two debates,
you sniffed. Did you hear yourself in the mic?
Do it on purpose. Yeah. The sexual assault claims that he claims are totally bogus, which they're not. All the stuff that's happening, a lot of these little things have gotten lost. Like the foundation stuff, totally lost. Remember that time his taxes got leaked? Totally lost. No one cares anymore. But there's a little one that I thought was kind of interesting, is that for some reason he came out against the NFL's concussion policy.
So I'm watching the game yesterday. What used to be considered a great tackle, a violent, head-on, head violent, if that was done by Dick Butkus, they'd say he's the greatest player. If that were done by Lawrence Taylor, it was done by Lawrence Taylor and Dick Butkus and Ray Nitschke, right? Ray Nitschke. Used to see these tackles, and it was incredible to watch, right? Now they tackle. Oh, head-on, head collision, 15-yard, the whole game is all screwed up. You say, wow, what a tackle. Bing, flag. Football's become soft. Football has become soft. Now, I'll be criticized for that. They'll say, oh, isn't that terrible? But football's become soft like our country has become soft. It's true. It's true.
Like, because he just does stream of consciousness, fever dream on the mic, maybe why you like him so much. And it reminded me of these quotes from Vince McMahon when Vince McMahon founded the XFL about how the NFL is the no fun league. The XFL is going to be extreme fun league. NFL is antiseptic and boring. And this is no panty waste here. You're going to be able to hit the quarterback and there's no fair catch and all this shit. And of course, the connection here, which you can read about in the Donalds, how Trump turned presidential politics into pro wrestling, is that both of these men started or contributed to starting a football league to compete with the NFL. And both ended the same way in huge losses because you can't do that. You can't make your own rules in other sports. You can't make your own rules in other avenues. But it's another coincidence that's very telling about these guys that they think they can take on kind of these institutions. And sometimes the institutions push back.
I am extremely excited to see how this plays into wrestling storylines.
Right.
They've been staying away from Putin a lot for the Rusev Reigns storyline for the U.S. Championship. But Rusev is super hot right now. Lana is super hot right now. People love booing them. If they turn face, people will love it.
Mm-hmm.
Will they turn him face with Putin on his side before the election because the McMahons have donated to Trump? That's a serious
August
question.
August and September, Linda McMahon donated $5 million, $6 million to the PAC.
Yeah.
To the super PAC, yeah.
That's not the craziest thing to happen if creative's like, well, now Rusev's a good guy.
Yeah. The other one is interesting because I can't remember when we looked at the 24, whatever it is, the A24 documentary. It's not A24, that's the production company, but whatever that documentary was about the women's revolution.
Oh, yes.
Did they
mention
Hillary in that in passing? Did they show her in a montage?
They show her in a montage.
So, I mean, that's the whole thing that they're pushing, and a lot of people from the wrestling part of this. So, we mentioned Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell is a big cage. It's covered on the top. It's about 20 feet tall. Usually, if you've seen it, you've seen Mankind get thrown off it. You've seen Shane McMahon jump off it. A lot of things with The Undertaker, a lot of blood. And this is...
We need to mention my favorite of all time.
Which one?
The Undertaker hung a man, specifically a cop, from the middle of the ring in Philadelphia. I just want to throw that out there.
Well, it was the Brood that did it, technically, which the Brood is about to...
He commanded that the Brood
The Brood's about to debut. I'm really excited. Gangrel just debuted in my rewatch of the Attitude Era. So, anyway, so the Hell in a Cell, like we started with this, it's usually a way to blow off a feud. Careers have almost literally ended. It's been a way to retire people, storyline-wise, and errors. And they're using it. There's going to be three of them because now it's a pay-per-view, and now it's kind of less an impact because you know it's going to happen every year. But like we said, Rusev and Roman Reigns are feuding. They're in the Hell in a Cell. Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens are in the Hell in a Cell for the main belt. And for the first time ever, two women wrestlers are in the Hell in a Cell, Sasha Banks and Charlotte, which hopefully this is the blow-off of some sort for this feud that goes back to NXT. It's like a couple year on and off again feud, and the way they're pushing it is this kind of reality era thing where they're talking about this is such a great moment for women in wrestling, and they're not really talking about it from the wrestling perspective, which I think wrestling fans are upset with. I think it's just a missed opportunity to talk about it. I think let other people, like, the coverage of it should be this is such a great moment for women's wrestling. The storyline should be we're finishing this in the Hell in a Cell. One of us is walking out of there with the belt. Mm-hmm. So it's like bad storytelling, but they're making about this. And that gets to this of, like, obviously there is the glass ceiling that's about to be, it's already been, one's been broken. We're about to have another one broken November 8th. And I'm curious how much they will look to tie it to the moment. And because of how, even if they're politically opposed to it, they're so craven, you know, Sasha's probably gonna be champion October 30th after she wins the Hell in a Cell, and then a week later we're gonna have a female president. If you don't think, like, there's gonna be a promo that mentions, like, women can do anything in this country, I mean, that's not the WWE I know.
Is there anything else?
If you're in the Washington DC Northern Virginia area on this Saturday, you should go to Saturdays of Thunder, Nova Pro Wrestling's latest event.
Are you gonna go?
Yeah, got a car, so if you want to come.
I'll be in Chicago watching baseball like a real jabroni.
You should go to the Allstate. Just go to Rosemont.
Is there a thing this weekend?
No, you just go there.
Just as an homage?
Yeah.
An homage.
Yeah. An hombre.
That's where all of our street fights happen.